warning to men this week, Marcus, that they are in the fashion firing line.
Why is that, Tim?
Well, it's always been women, pretty much.
Yeah.
Women have always been judged closely on what they've worn. You know, this looked good on this person, this didn't look good on that person. I guess it's, you know, celebrity culture mainly, but, you know, that all filters down. And this is 2017, I guess. You know, we live in modern day Australia where it's all equal.
At this point in time, it's been women who just can't get away with any fashion faux pas. On the screens, we look at them, we criticise them, especially women criticising women, I've found. But yeah, it's a pretty harsh world out there, and now men are getting drawn into it as well.
Yeah, a couple of high profile examples where men got it wrong. So this fashion stylist written an opinion piece across the News Limited sites, saying basically pointing out these couple of big blunders and saying, hey guys, expect more of this.
Okay.
First up was Bernard Tomic. Tomic or Tomic?
Depends.
Bernie.
B-Tom.
That's what you call him? gosh, I wish I had seen this story when it happened, but a little while back, I think just, you know, a couple of months ago, he forked out $50,000 on a one-night nightclub package in Melbourne.
As you do.
So, you know, by the by, that includes helicopter rides and an absolute ocean of booze. And and also, this is a direct quote, personalised sound, lighting show and live PA announcement as you enter. So, you know, you come into the club.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, in the house. You get like a big, you know, shout out. Could there be anything worse?
I don't know. That sounds my tacky fantasy. And I like your turn of phrase, ocean of booze.
Yeah.
That's
well, if I went through it, I've got a list here because I was intrigued. What does $50,000 get you? Bit of a sidetrack. But yeah, it is more booze than you would know what to do with.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
Here, 50 Bond shots, 50 Bloody Mary Oyster shots, 50 Caviar Spoon shots, and that's 150 shots. And then there's another one, two, three, about four or five bottles of expensive champagne. Anyway, it cost $50,000. And Bernard turned up for this night of nights wearing tracksuit pants.
Ah, Bernie.
So he's been called out. Not good enough. Meanwhile, his partner was absolutely dolled up.
Yeah.
You know, dressed. I don't get what dressed to the nines means, that saying, but she was.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, he's wearing tracksuit pants.
Well, that's an obvious one, isn't it? Like, you think the whole $50,000 package is about showing your wealth and showing you're a man about town. So to wear track pants, I know trendy guys get around with track pants, and but that's not the occasion to do it.
No, I feel like
people, unless it's a track pant sort of nightclub.
No, but it really isn't.
No.
People dress up well to you know, to give the appearance of success and wealth. But then there's a crossover point where you feel like you've become so rich you can go in reverse and you start way dressing down.
Yeah.
Which I think is what might have happened here.
I suppose for $50,000 you can do what you want, though, can't you? They're not going to say, no, you're not allowed in. This whole light show's for you, but not your track pants.
He was allowed in, absolutely. We should film ourselves trying to get into this same club wearing tracksuit pants. See, I think there could be a viral
video. Even us dressed to the nines trying to get into this nightclub. Probably a challenge.
No way they're letting us in there. The other faux pas was, I missed this, but one of the senators who was, you know, found out to be a dual citizen had to resign, Larissa Waters, did a resignation press conference and was flanked by a guy who's become known as Rainbow Scarf Man. So his crime was he wore this outlandish scarf. It's you know, looks fluorescent, multicolored fluorescent.
You've had a look at this?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I've seen it.
So it's more than just supporting same-sex marriage. It's way worse. Like, it's outlandish, or?
Oh yeah, no, it's beyond the Thunderdome.
Right. Okay.
Whatever that means. Here's what this stylist said of it. It was an eye-catching garment he surely knew would steal away attention from her, the senator who was retiring. He ended up trashing her final moment as a parliamentarian and made the story all about him.
Scarf man.
He was attacked on social media. People were calling him out for stealing the thunder and telling him either wear a suit or get out of the frame, mate. Made a joke of a serious political moment. So, is that the reverse? He's almost gone over the top.
Mm.
But you know when there's a TV camera on you,
yeah,
and to look at it, you've got to know that everyone's eyes are going to be drawn to this thing he was wearing.
That just sounds like bad form, bad etiquette, as the authors said. You just don't upstage the center of the... It's like a wedding. You don't upstage the bride.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
So, bad news, scarf man. I wonder if he's still got the scarf.
Oh, I've seen a couple of clips of him, and I think he wears a scarf every time.
Oh, okay.
I think it's his thing.
It's his thing. So, yeah, maybe he just thought, this is my thing, but...
Yeah, but this one was really...
Rainbow bright.
It makes me think, though, of TV cameras around, and there was a guy, a high-profile actor, who would always be in background shots of in the change rooms of the Port Adelaide football team after games.
Okay.
And he's an actor, and so he knows what a camera is.
Yes.
He knows where the camera is, and
yes,
he knows if he's in the camera. And I saw this many, like, multiple times. He would be in the background, perfectly placed so he was visible, and just chatting and
we can't
laughing.
Name this guy, or
really want to.
Okay.
Not because it's a problem, but okay, it's Hugh Sheridan.
Yeah, yeah.
But who seems like a great, really nice guy. That's why I don't want to, you know, be taking a shot at him. But he would be sort of over egging it, like really animated, laughing,
yeah,
and joking,
okay.
And I guess because he's an actor as well, you know, you just had to think, well, he knows what's going on. He's strategically positioned himself here.
Poor old Hugh, picking on Hugh.
But he wasn't wearing a rainbow scarf, so that was one thing. But, yeah, anyway, Marcus, get ready for some more the fashion microscope, to be honest. It's going to be a more and more common thing for men.
I think it's fair, Web Guy. I think men are treating themselves more seriously. Before, we used to just... put on whatever, or, you know, the elite people that are on TV, and people just sort of wore anything, got away with it. You're a man, you can just be, you know, a respectable face. But if you're wearing some bad duds, you're gonna cop it. So there's equality for you.
September 11 this week, Newsman, which marks one of the biggest events really in our lifetimes, at least so far, when the terror attack happened in New York City, 2001.
Yeah, shocking day. It's one of those, I've thought about this a few times over the years, talking to my nephews and now my daughters about explaining how big that is. Like, you could not write a movie script about it. It was just horrific and so large scale.
Yeah. Well, did it happen after your nephews were born?
Yes.
Yeah.
Before they were born. So.
But they, yeah, okay.
So, when they were to ever think, oh, what's this vision about?
Yeah, yeah.
I guess it won't be up to me to tell them. But I always think, imagine them comprehending what's been before. A shocking moment in history.
It feels to me like life is divided by that date. I mean, you've got life before that and then life after that, and it just feels different.
Yeah, definitely a loss of... easygoing and innocence for the whole world in terms of security and trust for people, whether it's on a plane or checking bags or anything.
And the shit show that's unfolded since then, I mean, we won't even get into that. You know, wars and more attacks and, you know, anyway. It's one of those moments where you definitely remember where you were. I was in the middle of watching. I still maintain I was watching Talking Footy, hosted by Bruce McAvaney.
Exactly, yes.
When that happened, and it was sort of like, oh, our plane's flown in to the tower. And then it wasn't even immediately obvious or apparent that it was an attack, but then this next one went in. And then by that stage it was obvious, but and then just the cameras rolling, is the building going to fall down? Or
did you stay up for hours and hours?
Yeah.
I think most people did.
Yeah. Well, you couldn't turn it off, could you?
No.
Awful event. Very popular story online this week, marking the anniversary of the part an actor played on that day, Steve Buscemi, who's known for... He was in Reservoir Dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Fargo, TV show recently called Boardwalk Empire. You loved his work in Billy Madison.
That's right. How could we describe it? He's not a great-looking man, and that's the secret to his success. Kind of a weird-looking character that fits the part of someone quite awkward-looking.
Yeah, I mean, you'd say, yeah, he's not handsome.
And Wedding Singer. Is he in Wedding Singer as well?
I reckon he's probably in that, yeah.
Yeah.
The actors who are not handsome but have a career, you know one thing about them, they're good actors.
Absolutely.
And they're not getting by on their looks, they're getting by on their acting ability. And he's, you know, I know he's been in some funny movies, but he's pretty well-regarded. Well, very well-regarded, actually. It turns out that when he left school, he was 18, he actually, for about 4 years, was a New York City firefighter. When September 11 happened, and you know, he was well into his acting career at that stage when it happened, he went back to the fire station, the New York fire station he used to work at, and he just pitched in and just started working shifts 12 hours a day, day after day, you know, helping out at the scene because there was a ton of work that they were doing in the aftermath. And he got in back into the, you know, fiery routine, plugged away, helping out, and never actually mentioned it. It came to light a few years later when the station posted a thanks to him for helping out. Until then, no one had known about it. He had never really talked about it. And then, so this week, stories around about how that's become a story everyone talks about when the date rolls around. You know, I guess it's such a awful moment. You look for those stories about, you know, the good things that people did or like the better side of humanity that we saw.
It's probably one time, I'm sure that several times, but very few times where if people just say, I can help, I have the skills, they probably would have forgotten all the red tape and said, come on in.
Yeah, exactly.
We need your help.
Yeah, on an ordinary week, it's just like, well, no, you can't really. You don't work here anymore.
Join the fire service.
No.
But
yeah, that was a desperate situation, clearly. Also, in comparison to, haven't exactly fact-checked, maybe I should, but it's definitely a story rolling around that at the same time in the wake of September 11, then he was a tycoon, a business mogul, Donald Trump. What's the word when you offer to donate money? You pledged money to victims. And the story, even still now, is that he pledged it, never paid it.
Okay.
So if that is true, well then maybe Buscemi should be the one who's president. Well, he would make a better president, wouldn't he?
He's more virtuous by the sounds of it.
And he's, you know, we know he's practical. He's, you know, he can...
He's hands-on.
He's a man that you can rely on in a crisis.
You'd have to get Donald Trump's take on it, whether it was a pledge put up and no one followed up, or I don't know.
Yeah. Haven't heard his side of it.
Mm.
Anyway. Buscemi, good one. Watch out for clowns this weekend, newsman.
Is the circus in town?
Oh, no. It's much scarier than that.
Oh, no.
I think it was last year or earlier this year. No, I think it was late last year. Weird phenomenon was happening, started in the US. Like everything, we started doing it over here. These creepy clowns just popping up. People dressing up as clowns and trying to scare people was happening. It's sort of fizzled out. But it's back, thanks to new movie coming out, a remake of Stephen King's It.
Now, tell us a bit about the movie. I've only ever seen the image of the scary clown, but can you put it in a nutshell what it's about?
Oh, well, it's hard to fit it into a nutshell, Marcus. But it prominently features a scary clown who terrorizes some young kids. So one of many
scary characters in the movie. Kids afraid of something and comes out and kills them.
Comes after them and gets them. But that's not even the interesting part. The interesting bit is that in real life, people decide they want to dress up like scary clowns and scare people. And by all reports, it's going to happen this weekend. There's these weird Facebook pages called Clown Purge Australia, and then there's different offshoots for all the cities. It's marking out we're coming to this suburb, we're going to be here, and so they're basically letting everyone know there's going to be clowns everywhere terrorizing people this weekend.
But they're gathering.
It's like a gathering, I guess. It's I won't pretend to try and understand it.
Right.
It's bizarre, and as long as it's just a bit of, fun and games and nothing too serious. Who cares? But there is something about clowns, and this is what I want to get into. There is something a bit scary. Do they worry you?
Not at all. I guess if someone came at me at 2 a.m. and assaulted me as a clown, I'd be worried.
It wouldn't matter what they're wearing or what they look like.
Absolutely. I think the big scary component is we are brought up to associate clowns with happiness, laughter, childhood. Then when you put an evil slant to it, it's like a conflict of images in your head of fear and delight of childhood. So it's sort of that weird mix that makes it extra scary compared to just someone putting on a monster mask.
I want to pull you up on that. It's an interesting point. We feel like kids love clowns, but do they? If you look at it, most kids are terrified when they see a clown. And there has actually been a study that has found that's true. Most kids don't like clowns. So we feel like it's a childhood
thing. Well, why is it a symbol then? Why? It is a symbol of you go to a balloon shop, it's a happy clown. Or a cartoon will feature a clown. A McDonald's restaurant has a clown as its... Is he a clown? Yeah, Ronald McDonald, the clown.
Yeah. How many people like him? But anyway, I know what you're saying, but there's some research on clowns that I want to just quickly go through here.
Okay.
Why do we find them scary? Well, people, humans, you and me, us, what we find creepy, the things we find creepy, or the people we find creepy, are much more likely to be male rather than female.
Mm-hmm.
And all clowns are male. Have you ever seen,
Christmas pageant there are, but generally,
there's a couple of token female clowns, let's be honest. Like, they are males more often than not. And that unpredictability is an important part of what we find creepy. And that unusual patterns of eye contact and other non-verbal behaviours will set off the human creepiness detector big time. And when you think about it, clowns have weird eyes, strange smiles, bizarre hair, the noses, the clothes.
They run around in weird directions.
Yeah,
backflip and
everything's unpredictable and bizarre. So there's also some thinking that all that makeup and weird clothes, disguises, you don't really know who they are, they're really thinking, what they're really up to.
I was going to raise that point, and I think that's why the scary clown craze or trend for people gains momentum. Behind that mask, you can be anyone. Generally, with the clown makeup, you can't really tell who's behind there. So from the other side of the things, people have that mask, they can be anyone and attack anyone.
It reminds me of the weird clash of images like that you're talking about. Reminds me of an important piece of historical research conducted in the 90s, I think it was, called Point Blank. Point Break.
Point Break, yes.
I can't even remember.
What was that, Presidents of America?
Yeah, so you've got the bank robbers are wearing masks of presidents. So you see presidents who are, you know...
Revered
and, you know, authority figures and, you know, important. And here they are robbing banks. It's a similar sort of... This is a bit weird and scary. And that stuck in my mind. So maybe it's a similar thing going on.
Yeah, yeah.
Other thing with clowns. Hey, there's also this. Ever heard of John Wayne Gacy?
It sounds familiar. Please explain.
It's grim, but he was an American serial killer in the 70s, and he actually dressed up and appeared at kids' birthdays as Pogo the Clown.
Ooh.
Turned out he had killed at least 33 people. He painted pictures of clowns as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the cultural phenomenon of the weird or of the creepy clown really took off after that.
Mm, okay.
So let's not forget that as a factor. Seems significant.
Mm.
Anyway, I don't love them. I'm hoping not to run into any this weekend.
Can I talk generally about clowns, please?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I just wonder what they need to have a role, a niche. I don't know what I get in, say, the Christmas pageant. They are there to interact with the crowd. But a clown, is he a magician? Is he a balloon technician?
Mm-hmm.
Is he... I don't know what his role is. Like, if you... For a kid's party, you hire a superhero, he pretends to be that superhero. It's pretty focused.
Yeah.
But a clown, I just don't know what you are.
They're a jester. They are just...
But really, are they size-splittingly funny, are they?
Safe to say, probably the world has moved past clowns.
Maybe that's where,
what we find funny now is not so much someone pretending they're stuck inside an invisible box. I mean, that's a mime.
And dropping a water bomb on someone's head that's full of confetti.
Yeah, they feel like a throwback to, you know, like the 1800s or something.
Mm.
Maybe we need to invent a new... Let's reinvent the clown for the 21st century.
Right.
Maybe it's already been done. I don't know. Dear friend of the show, newsman, Malcolm Turnbull.
Yes, we were having a chat about him in our last podcast.
Yep, Prime Minister. And I call him a dear friend of the show because we've spoken about him. That's all you have to do to qualify. we spoke previously about him botching a filmed basketball shot and... last weekend, all over the news again, when a photo he posted of himself online went viral. Safe to say, absolutely viral.
Should I have a crack at explaining what it was? Or I guess everyone really knows what it is. He is the PM. Everything he does is news. But basically, he was at a football game holding a grandson, I believe it was.
Granddaughter,
mm-hmm. and a beer in the other hand.
Mm-hmm.
Looked like a very loving picture, actually. Very nice.
Yeah. Did look like a good picture, there was social media backlash. And by backlash, I mean, that might just, from what I could tell, maybe one person questioned whether you should hold a beer and a baby at the same time. So then people came out of the woodwork to backlash against the backlash.
Yeah, that's right.
Even though the backlash, I still think was only one person posting one comment. That's been talked to death. All I want to really add is that unbelievably great thing to happen for Malcolm Turnbull. Absolute winner of a situation for him.
Last episode, we talked about how, for me, I thought a politician that stuffs up in sport doesn't look good because they don't look like an everyday person.
Mm.
But this, on mm-hmm. the other hand, is very much an mm-hmm. everyday person thing to do.
If you had to pick a couple of things to portray yourself as an Australian everyman, it would be beer and it would be family.
Mm-hmm.
Be a family man and drink beer would be the top two things, He's combined them in in one ultimate post, and then he's been, you know, he's been savaged, quote unquote, for it, which is perfect because now it's gone viral.
He's the victim.
He's the victim. Everyone's talking about it. I mean, everyone's defending him, saying, "No, let him go. He's being a great grandpa."
Plenty of pics online of dudes probably about our age, late 20s through to their 40s, with a kid on their lap and a beer. It was sort of like a this week's sort of thing that you take a photo and show your support.
The only way it could have been more, you know, only way he could have been a more of an Australian winner in this whole thing was if he was wearing one of those floppy hats with the corks hanging off at the same.
You don't think it was contrived, do you?
No, not at all. No. I mean, you look at it and you know it wasn't.
Mm.
Just a funny quirk with how the media works where, you know, supposedly copping the backlash is really a great thing. Mm. You know, in a lot of times, embrace the backlash. It means you're being noticed, and that's half the battle a lot of times, especially for politicians.
And how has journalism changed in that, you're right, has there been any like, oh, there were 1,000 tweets of disapproval or any actual measurement of it? Or, as you said, it could possibly have been one fired up person enough to trigger a story, and then we're all too lazy to look into those details, and we all just go, backlash! One person, backlash, there's your story, without really looking into it.
And the one person probably works for him and knew that this would trigger a whole thing. But I never thought before about whether it was a faux pas to actually hold a baby and a drink at the same time.
I've got no idea.
Have you done it?
No, I haven't. I've probably had a few beers, come home, held a baby. It's way worse. But I guess there would be the concern, where is the line in the sand? So one beer at the football with your granddaughter in one hand.
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah.
But some people would go, well, I've had four beers, fine, I'm holding... Where do you say, you know, it's 10, 12? Can you have an absolute bender? Hold a baby on you?
I don't know. Can you? the criticism was also breathing like grog all over the baby, which is, I don't think, maybe gross, but probably not harmful.
There's no passive drinking studies, is there?
So, sure. I mean, you made it sound gross. But when you look at a lot of the situations that a lot of kids and, unfortunate situations that kids have found themselves in.
Would people be angry at taking a baby to the Royal Adelaide show last week, for example? I mean, noise pollution, the kids freaking out could deter their mental state by just all different noises. And
yeah.
I mean, you could pick on anything.
You
babies
could.
Babies are delicate little...
Yeah,
creatures, and they probably don't need to be exposed to any of this, really, but it's life. People get on with it.
And if you're looking at the well-being of kids, no grandchild in the country is probably in better care than the grandchild of our multimillionaire prime minister. I don't think that kid is in trouble. But I get, you know, that's all about the example you set. But, you know... It seems as though most people feel like there's nothing wrong with that.